There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 793, June 17th. 2019. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. And I say OMG. Fernando Alonso is world champion in WEC. In F1, we go from Montreal to Mistral, and time will tell if we will have a winning cheval. Back to you, senor.
Thank you. On today's program, Fernando wins again El Machismo de España. Le NASCAR overturns win. First time since 1960. Penalty? What penalty? And I just want to remind you, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Anyone who donates $100 or more will receive the famous F1 Weekly coffee cup and sticker. And if it's done this month, I will throw in an extremely rare, used F1 Weekly t-shirt that's been to races all over the world. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Well, I am really in shell shock. I don't know when was the last time we mentioned something about NASCAR in the opening of the show, especially by you. So the world must be coming to an end.
The world is coming to an end, but I just could not help it, especially since it was 1960 when Emmanuel Zervakis' victory at Wilson Speedway in North Carolina was thrown out because of an oversized fuel tank.
Well, thank you so much for NASCAR enlightenment. I am just elated.
I'm telling you, this is the future of F1 Weekly, slowly but surely, as Formula One becomes an absurd and ridiculous sport. I will move over and smell Le NASCAR.
You mean you will make a left turn and change the name from F1 Weekly to Lefty Weekly?
LeftyWeekly.com.
Exactly. Okay, sir. Well, Mr. Rogers, did you watch the end of the Le Mans 24-hour race? Yes or no?
I did. It was so exciting to watch the number 7 car falter because the Jesuses knew that it was time for El Machismo.
Well, you know, I was traveling, so I had this thing going on my cell phone. And, you know, I'm not an ad man for Toyota, but let me say this. Oh, what a feeling. And I was, of course, thinking about his numero uno, fan. It's been a long, long time since Nando was campeonato. I mean, this is the man who dethroned Michael Schumacher and then, for whatever reason, never won the championship. It all changed in dramatic and winning fashion on Sunday. Jose Maria Lopez can't trust that day. And this morning I was reading that Toyota even thought about issuing team orders. And I'm glad they did not do that because, as we discussed last week, races should be won on race tracks. Now, the one-time extraver for USF one, Pachito, also known as Jose Maria Lopez, was leading and had the race in the bento box, or so he thought, when a faulty sensor led to a late pit stop for puncture. Now, they had all the time in the world to change all tires, which is very easy to say after the race, and they would have still kept the lead. As luck or karma for Nando would have it, they only changed one tire for the driver to realize they changed the wrong tire, and they're blaming it on a faulty sensor, and maybe that's correct. A second pit stop evaporated any chance of victory. His teammate Kobayashi was totally devastated. You know, it was a few years ago that car Kobayashi was sharing stopped on the final lap or late in the race while in the lead. So I feel sorry for him and his two teammates. But that's the way it goes. How are you feeling when you saw Nando take the lead?
I felt that wonderful heavy moment lifted off my shoulders, thinking that we are back in town.
Yes, and two wins and two starts at Le Mans is an amazing achievement for Hombre, who last won in F1 like 5 years ago or something like that, and last May even failed to qualify for the Indy 500. This is just my personal opinion. I'm happy for him and even more happy for him for his success at Le Mans. But I think he should send a Dankeschön note to Porsche and Audi for not being at Le Mans. Otherwise, victory in this Triple Crown event would have been another long and winding road. And I'm not talking about the Mulsanne straight here. What say you?
Well, that's, hey, just like Lewis Hamilton last weekend was given a victory, and he's not crying. He likes that victory. Puts him up on the scoreboard, puts him up in the lead. Happiness is a W.
Yes, of course, and you take the wins as they come, whether the guy is getting disqualified or somebody is having a MGUH problem. You just take them and add them on the billboard. So, in second place, we have Sebastian Buemi and Kazuki were Nando's teammates. Jose Maria Lopez, Mike Conway, and Kamui Kobayashi were classified second. Russian comrades Vitaly Petrov and Mikhail Elishin with Stoffel Vandoorne finished third. I'm happy for Stoffel Vandoorne also, because I think at McLaren he got not the CD, but a LP from Isaac Hayes. And Bruno Senna was fourth along with Neil Yani and Andre Lotterer. So are you happy with watching the Le Mans race and how it panned out at the end, sir?
To be honest with you, I thought it was a great, great year for Le Mans. I was also very happy for the Alpine Syntec team, also known as Alpine Renault. And they did very, very well winning in the LMP2 class. I was very happy. I thought it was very entertaining. You can't beat Le Mans. It's exciting.
Yeah, you know, along with Indy 500, it's one of the biggest motor races in the world, and it's quite an honor to have success here, and it's a fabulous, fabulous race to go to, and hopefully in the next few years, you know, I'll make another run. So we'll see how that works out. So, sir, I have to ask you, because we want to go back to a hot and steamy race in Montreal a week ago. Has the host of F1 Weekly cooled down since the last podcast?
Yes, I've showered and put a nice, fresh F1 Weekly shirt on, and I feel much better.
Okay, and you had a Nescafe and a F1 Weekly cup also.
See.
That's very good. Well, you know, last week we talked about Lewis losing the win at Spa in 2008. In post-race interview in Montreal, which he was doing with Will Buxton, and Will brought this to his attention. And I'm sure I remember, I probably heard this when it happened, but it was not on my mind. Lewis said that after he gave the position back to Kimi, his team, McLaren at the time, asked Charlie Whiting if that was okay, and the team was given his stamp of approval, and later this was changed. So, you know, I mean, that was pretty ridiculous to do that. Now, I also watched the penalty, and you don't have to watch it because this is happening every race now, pretty much. The penalty that was dished out on Max at Suzuka last year, there was no body damage. It was nothing more than the usual Max hustle. Both the drivers, he and Kimi, were able to continue, and Max got a penalty. I think we need a Roberto Duran rule in Formula One. No mass to such penalties. I have an idea. You know, everybody has an idea and everybody has an opinion. You can't please everyone. What do you think about replacing especially in a situation like this, replacing the 5-second penalty with a 5-point penalty? This way, at least the driver keeps his winning position. And you just stressed W, how important that is. What do you say?
That's still pretty brutal. I mean, 5 points, you know, 1 point could win the season. So, I don't know. I'm staying out of this. I just want ration.
You want ration. And now pretty soon you'll want ration going in circles.
That's my favorite.
Yes. Now we come to Canadian Moose of the Day. There were some other highlights in Montreal, but because of the hoopla surrounding the penalty, We did not discuss anything. Actually, most of the broadcasts and podcasts I listen on right after the race, all they did was talk about the penalty. But there were some other highlights apart from the Sepp saga. Kevin Magnussen was pretty ballsy on the team radio. He crashed in Quali and created quite a repair job for the team. Then he delivered his own version of sour cream Danish pastry by declaring on team radio, "This is the worst experience I've ever had behind the wheel of a racing car." And not surprisingly, team boss Günther Steiner was not too thrilled. He responded by saying, "Even for us, it is not a good experience. Enough is enough." And I think this is better than what Steiner told Grosjean, Romain Grosjean, during a race not too long ago, when he simply said to Romain on the team radio, "Shut up." But I must say, after the race, K-Mac sang our favorite song to the team. And you know which song I'm talking about.
"I'm sorry, so sorry."
Now, were you impressed with Lance? He was pretty mighty in Montreal. He earned his dollar, $1 billion, to be more realistic, and delivered a good result for the home crowd and team. Did that impress you, sir?
No.
Why is that?
Too many billions. Too many billions. I want hard-working six-pack folk involved.
So you don't want to see him drink Molson but come to a racetrack with a six-pack of PBR?
That would be much better.
Okay, sir. Now, McLaren, this was amazing. I remember when Kimi was at McLaren, and I think his teammate then was Montoya, when in one race the left rear view mirror fell off, the next race the right rear view mirror fell off. Now, in Montreal, Lando Norris retired due to brake fire or something like that, melting the suspension. So, another first for the once mighty team. Any thoughts on that, sir?
Lots of laughing.
Yeah, but we'll see how it works out. More thoughts now from listeners. Would you like to read the first one, sir? Please proceed.
Jason Bentley from Melbourne, Australia. "Watching the race on delay, knowing the outcome, made the comments of the commentators much sweeter and prophetic. The only good point from what happened, another Canada F1 memory has been created, just like JB's win when cars were worked on during the rain break, or Kubica's monumental crash at the hairpin. It wasn't great for the purity of the sport, but it made it memorable. It was a very uneventful, boring race otherwise. Viva le Canada."
Yes, sir. And Mr. Mark Mayo from Georgia writes, "Watched the race without knowing what happened. Complete BS call, in my opinion. Hell, Seb did an amazing job keeping off the wall. A lesser driver may not have been able to save that. Clearly, they should have a grasp of physics and momentum." And once again, you know, my thanks to all the listeners for sending and sharing their thoughts with us, which was kind of them to take the time to do this. So many thanks again to everybody. And sir, why don't you proceed with racers' reaction? We have a selection of comments made by racing drivers. So please proceed with the first one.
Mario Andretti says, "I think the function of the stewards is to penalize flagrantly unsafe moves, not honest mistakes as a result of hard racing. What happened at Canada is not acceptable at this level of our great sport."
Damon Hill said, "My personal view is that he could have left more room, but we lost a great final few laps because of the penalty. There was enough doubt to let them carry on. Remember Dijon?"
Nigel Mansell says, "Very, very embarrassing. No joy in watching this race. Two champions driving brilliantly will end in a false result."
Mark Webber, "Any of the stewards ever raced at the front in F1 didn't watch the race. Have now seen the incident. Mental penalty."
Guido Van de Garde, he says, "He was on the Dan Hartman program. Wouldn't go to the podium if I was Vettel, honestly."
Okay, and Felix, the Swedish cat, Felix Rosenquist, now racing in America. "The podium ceremony showed how no one was happy to be up there as a result of the stupid penalty. It ruined a great race for all of us fans. Kudos to Vettel for not having it and to Hamilton for being a great sportsman."
And DTM race driver Daniel Abt says, "This penalty is bullshit."
And now we come to your new favorite racing scene and new hero, Jimmy Johnson. The NASCAR legend writes, "I'm glad we don't have stewards in NASCAR."
Bravo, bravo, I knew. Le NASCAR is my future.
Okay, they don't say bravo, bravo at NASCAR races. It's hee-haw, hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. Boogity, boogity.
Okay, Mr. Rogers, another good news for you. The next race this coming weekend is your home race, the French Grand Prix at Paul Ricard. Are you lay excited?
Super excited. I got the merguez in the refrigerator.
And what are you expecting from this race? Who will be second?
Who will be second? Lewis Hamilton.
Whoa, so and who's winning?
Max Verstappen.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Honda has that much grunt now for the Mistral straight, you think?
No, but there'll be penalties, trust me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, some years ago, Mr. Rogers, have you ever been to Paul Ricard, by the way?
No.
Okay, I've never been there, but some years ago, you know, it's not too far from Marseille. So some years ago, since I could not go there, I said, at least I'll go to Marseille. So I drove from Nice to Marseille, and man, that is a lay beautiful road journey. I was very impressed. And Paul Ricard features the long and fast straight named after the Mediterranean wind Mistral. A chicane was put there following Elio De Angelis' fatal accident in 1986, even though he crashed on the front straight. Now, I have a feeling, and because, you know, we all need a regime change at the top step of the podium, that the long straight will help Ferrari. And maybe we can have a red car win for the first time this year. It's amazing they have gone without a win so far. And of course, both the drivers are without a win. But the way things are going for Seb, I think the team is going to try to make sure that the first Ferrari victory is through Sebastian Vettel. And, you know, sooner the better. In Bahrain, Newman and Maranello, Charles Leclerc, almost gave Ferrari first win of the season. After the Montreal misery, I think Scuderia Ferrari would like to see their still number one get his first win of the season first. What say you?
Well, the problem is Ferrari did win. They won in Canada.
Well, I'm talking about when you look at the race result.
Oh, Le Chateau. I understand. No, I think Ferrari has a very, very good chance, especially since I think they sent some money over to Pirelli to, you know, maybe get better tires.
Yeah, now that everybody is throwing Pirelli under the bus, which I don't think is fair. It's just, I just think that Mercedes' package is just overall very good. It's quick and it's happening everywhere. But man, you know, Seb is over. I think he's over 60 points behind LCH. The tide must turn at Mistral. Otherwise, any remaining hopes of a fifth championship will be carried away by the warm winds. And if Mercedes wins here, especially Lewis Hamilton, I mean, then Ferrari will have to really wonder where will they win a race.
They will win.
No, I'm sure they will. And it will be sooner the better, as I said. Now, our friend, the Finnish Rubinho, Bottas, you see any, are we going to see Bottas 3.0 before the season is over?
No, Bottas even knows that his life is done.
You know, I was thinking about the situation about Esteban Ocon being part of the Mercedes driver development program. I don't know what the situation was with Bottas's contract, but I was thinking that, you know, Bottas must be very lucky that he went winless while his teammate won the championship, that Toto Wolff did not give him, you know, the final paycheck.
Yeah.
And now there are some rumors that the Polish sponsor, the oil company, they might move Kubica from Williams to, I mean, where can he go now?
Super Aguri.
No, I think where he can go to Racing Point, because then there will be no competition for the Bambino of the team owner.
That's true.
What about your team, man? Both drivers were in the points in Montreal. Spotlight will be on the team for their home Grand Prix. I think in Ricciardo and Hülkenberg, they have a very strong driver lineup. And hopefully soon they can provide the package for them to deliver. And what a day it will be when one of them grabs a win. It will be great if it happens this year. Do you think Renault will win a race this year?
No, they just don't have it yet. Maybe next year.
How about a podium for Hülkenberg?
A podium for Hülkenberg would be a win.
I'm fairly confident that they will have a podium or two. Now, I don't know if it will be through Hülkenberg, but I think they will score a few podiums. Keep in mind, pretty soon, I mean, sooner or later, we're going to be involved in races which are rain affected or some bizarre thing happening, and it will shuffle the running order.
It will.
Anything else, sir, that you want to talk about the Canadian Grand Prix or the upcoming Grand Prix de France?
No, I mean, I'm hoping that Ricciardo and Hülkenberg could be in the top five. Renault has made some headway, and they need to turn it up a little bit at home. So, and, you know, certainly Carlos Ghosn will be watching the race from his cell block, number nine.
Oh, he got number nine?
Yes, number nine.
Good, good, good. I wonder how big his bento box is when they serve him lunch as a guest of the Japanese government.
It's very small bento.
Amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what they say?
The higher you fly, the harder you fall.
Totally, man. That is such a bitchin' ride. So anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll be back after these brief messages.
Hello, this is Christian Kleon and you listen to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. We shall start with MotoGP from Circuit de Catalunya. Another win for local hombre Marc Marquez, while his Honda teammate Jorge Lorenzo took out Ducati rider Andrea Dovizioso and Valentino Rossi also got involved. When Lorenzo was announced as replacement for Danny Pedrosa, I was expecting cage rattling between he and Marquez. Sadly, Lorenzo has become body of bike racing, asking to build a bike around him. You know, when he left Yamaha and first went to Ducati, even there he just could not adjust to the Ducati bike, and same thing is happening now at Honda. While Marquez leads the championship with 140 points over Dovizioso on 103, Lorenzo is languishing in 15th place with only 19. He is lucky Honda MotoGP team is not sponsored by our favorite corporate sponsor Red Bull, otherwise he would have received a two-word text from Dr. Marco. And what would be those two words, Mr. Rogers?
Chop chop!
Absolutely. No thank you, no goodbye, just chop chop. WRC World Rally Championship, Daniel Sordo from Spain was the winner for Hyundai in Sardinia. Ott Tänak from Estonia was fifth for Toyota and still leads the championship with 150 points. Your hombre Sebastian Ogier is second with 146 points. In the Constructors' Championship, Hyundai leads with 258 points. Second is Toyota with 198 and Citroën is third on 167 points. You know, we rarely talk about new products on the market, but this is, I think you're going to get one of these. New product on the market for race fans, a must-have, the Rubinho watch. Did you hear that Rubens Barrichello is launching his own watch line?
I did see it.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is the watch is programmed to be 2 seconds slower all the time to remind you are wearing watch from the authentic number two.
Exactly.
Nando should also get his own watch. You know, I once met somebody, this was right after the OJ situation. He was wearing what he said to me was an OJ watch, where the second, the hand for the second was a Bronco, and the hand for the minute was a LAPD car. So I think what Nando should do is maybe have a fast car that he was dreaming while he was with a Scuderia Ferrari. And now, you know what would be a good idea for Nando's watch? When you set the alarm, whatever it is, it goes off saying, GP2, GP2 engine, ah!
That's not very funny, Nasser.
I think it's hilarious.
Well, it's funny that you mention OJ, because today is the 25th anniversary of the OJ chase in Los Angeles.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
Well, I did not even know that. Oh, wow. Amazing.
Simply amazing.
Yes. Okay, now this is, you think that was funny? Now listen to this. Now we come to famous last words. This was on Twitter in response to Jimmy Johnson saying he is happy there are no stewards in NASCAR. And you know, I'm not making this up. He did both say this. So a man in response wrote, and I quote, NASCAR stewards can be let me do a take two, please.
You want me to read it, Nasser?
Please.
You ready?
See.
Okay, the man wrote, NASCAR stewards can be found at the burger stand from lap one till the last lap. I think Jimmy Johnson is French fried on this one.
Do you agree with the man, sir?
Absolutely. I've been to that burger stand. It's a packed joint.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is it? 99 cents all you can eat?
And the Freedom Fries are free.
Oh, yeah. My favorite. And what do you get for drink? PBR or Bud Light?
You get Michelob Ultralight.
Oh, wow. So, Mr. Rogers, there you have it. What else is happening in the world of motor racing?
Well, that's it, you know. Of course, I mentioned the taking away of the win from the NASCAR driver, but I forgot to mention that was in the truck series.
Boy, you are really going upscale with NASCAR racing now. I'm impressed, Mr. Rogers.
Not only that, but when they said that was the first time since 1960, they were wrong.
Oh, you did research on this also?
Not only that, but the last driver to be stripped of a victory was actually Mike Skinner in 1999 at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. Look it up, NAS.
Wow, Clark, man, I don't know what's going on.
I'm telling you, I'm looking for other things to get me excited. You know, I mean, I know Piero, or whatever his name is, ruined everything, but hey, Le Nascar, they got it right.
Well, you know, I know, like me, you miss the big sound of racing engines. May I suggest tractor pull racing for you?
I've already booked my tickets.
Good, good.
Tractor pulls at the Cow Palace next month.
Very good.
I'll be doing interviews with the drivers. Any advice, Nasser, from the encyclopedia?
I'm just glad we don't do a YouTube podcast. I'm going bonkers.
Yes, we'll never do a YouTube podcast. Only the logo is shown on the YouTube podcast.
Now, going back to Le Mans, did you see some news item and rendering of pictures or drawings of the hypercars that we will allow at Le Mans?
Yes, the hypercars look great. They're coming out next year.
Yeah, Aston Martin. I was surprised even Toyota has signed up for this deal.
Everybody's signing up. They want to be cool.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I think it's great. I'm hoping that maybe Ferrari will come in and they'll probably quit F1 and bring Vettel into Le Mans with a hypercar.
Yeah, because, you know, Le Mans is such a great event. I mean, I hate to see LMP1, just two cars running around, but that's not fun.
It looked like fun to me.
Yeah, especially with the guy who won. That's your man.
Yeah, he's amazing. He just keeps winning every day.
Yeah. Sir, this is coming towards the end of June. Are you all set for the, whatever it's called now, the Rolex reunion at Monterey?
Yes, that's coming up, Motorsports Reunion. Hopefully I'll have my medical situation fixed and I can actually attend.
Okay, I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's going to be exciting, and it always is.
IndyCar season finale is at Laguna Seca also. Are you planning to go there?
I've been invited. I'm going to go. And on the Motorsports Reunion, they're doing the 50th anniversary of IMSA, or IMSA. That's very exciting. And of course, Pebble Beach will be featuring Bentley as the featured mark. So if anybody likes Bentleys, I would highly recommend going to Pebble Beach. And there you have it. There's always plenty to do in Northern California.
Yes, sir. That is very true.
So keep up the good work, Nas. The check is in the mail again.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. And I thank everybody for listening and sharing their thoughts with us. And we shall be back with some information on the French Grand Prix.
Thank you, Nasser. And good night.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
drive a dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks. You're damn right. Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man? Can you dig it? Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's things you're all about? Right on. You see, this cat Chef is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
Well, we can do it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Chef.